You haven't figured it out by now. Pastor's not here. He is getting a much needed vacation time. It's good to see a good number of folks. He gave you a warning that he was going to be out of town. It's good to see you guys still showed up. Amen. If you have a Bible with you today, go ahead and take it, open it up to Hebrews chapter 13. And in the other hand, grab Romans 12. If anybody noticed the sign out there, it kind of fits kind of what we're talking about here. So I kind of like, wow, that's kind of cool. I didn't even notice it yesterday when I came by, so I don't know if it was there or not. Went and saw Brother Spurgeon last night. He's doing well. I tried to get him to come up here this morning, but he's like, I got to be down here. So I'm like, well, I can come down here. But they're having a good time down there in Berean. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go over to Romans chapter 12. And pretty sure you'd probably know what I'm going to pull out here. Verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go ahead and bow with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these folks coming out. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand here and open your word. I'm not worthy to do it, Lord, but with your help, you can use me to speak to those that are here. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me, wash me in the blood, Lord. Get anything out of the way that would hinder your work. I don't want to be a hindrance to what you have for us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless all that we do here this morning. I pray that you would get a honor and glory out of it, and I pray that your saints would be edified. We love you for everything, Lord, and look forward to your return. In Jesus' name, amen. So what sparked this thought for me was during the first night of revival, a young lady sang this song, The Center of God's Will. And I've been thinking about that since then. And where do we all want to be? That's kind of simple, right? In the center of God's will. Yep. And what you're going to hear today is, I kind of feel like Brother Spurgeon has said after a special or something, they have to get up and sing. They've been getting up and singing, and he's like, we have to follow that. And I'm thinking, I have to follow revival? And I should have said that to him last night, but I didn't. But what you hear today is nothing new, and it's very foundational, but it's just something that we always have to keep in the thoughts of our mind. So where do we all want to be? We all want to be in the center of God's will, right? Of course, and we want God to work in our lives, and we all desire to be there, but it does take work on our part. There's no doubt about it. It does take work. And what life does, it takes us through seasons. And sometimes those seasons are more joyous than others. Those seasons can make us question whether we're in the will of God or not. And we should always strive to be in the center of God's will. How do we handle those different seasons? And just in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you can read about it. all those different types of seasons. You got the time and the seasons, right? On a side note, years ago when I was deer hunting with my grandpa, we went and did a morning sit, and then we were going to sit till a certain amount of time. And I was bored, and I said, well, I'm just going to go back to the house, didn't see any deer or anything. And well, I was supposed to meet him at a different spot, and we were going to hang out and hunt. So I never showed up. He's like, what happened? And here I'm back at the house hanging out, you know. So then he made me read that chapter and then lectured me about time and where we're supposed to be and all that stuff, you know. So that every time I read or think about that, that's the instance that comes to my mind. But how do we handle time? How do we handle the seasons that we're in? And what we should, I've probably said this, we should all strive to be in the center of God's will, no matter what season we're in. And it's a battle. We have to fight it every day. I speak for myself, and maybe some of you in here feel the same way, but sometimes you feel like you're stuck in a rut. That's just, life is, you know, you've heard it said more than once. You get up, go to work, come home, eat dinner, go to bed. And you repeat the thing, right? That's just what life is. You're repeating things over and over and over. And you never seem like you never seem to be making progress. But it's not until you've gone a long ways and you look back and you're like, oh, look at what all the Lord has done for me. And I think it was Brother Spurgeon that said it just the other night, is everything in the windshield looks big, but as it gets in the mirrors, it looks smaller and smaller as you get further away from it. So it's a big problem right here, but as you get through it, you look back, it's like, oh, it really wasn't that big of a deal. But the things we go through in life, yeah, we think it's a big deal right now, and we get frustrated, we get flustered, but at the end of the day, it's really not in the big scope of things. But it takes time, and you look back on things, and you get reminded, like, wow, what the Lord really has done a lot for me. He really has done a lot for us, and that should encourage you to keep drawing closer to Him. Can we all be closer to Him? Of course we can. I can. And by no means am I stepping on His heels. You think of I've always pictured the footprints in the sand. You know, I'm not stepping on His heels like you're following somebody if you're, I don't know, where you go walking. Say you go to the state fair. You're going to step on someone's heels. We're probably not at that point with Jesus Christ. It's just kind of plain and simple. So there's still room to get closer. And God's will for our life doesn't change. What happens is we don't want to be in the center of God's will. Or we want to do it our way, right? We think we have it the best. We think we have the best way to figure it out. The other thing is, we think if we do this, I'll have to give up this. And if I have to give up this, I won't have that. And that, whatever that is, will that make you closer to God? No, it won't. Because what you already made that to be, you have already set that as an idol, and you're already focused more on that than Jesus Christ. And I'm just as guilty as the next person. And we have to strive every day to not make that the center of our focus and the center of our attention. And you have to tear that idol down. We have to tear idols down all the time in our heart and our mind. Life goes on, and we start thinking that I've got this. I got this all figured out. Well, you know what? You've already created a greater space between you and God. So I got a couple just real simple things that will keep us out of the center of His will if we're not careful. But first and foremost, what will for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, keep you out of the center of the will of God is salvation. If you are not born again, then the rest of this is kind of useless in a way, okay? So salvation is the most important thing that you need to be in the center of God's will. That's the first step. You need to be born again. There is a hell that burns hotter than you even imagine. And you might have just asked, well, what is being born again? And God has given us a way to not have to go there, to hell. But since you asked about being born again, let me just take you over to John chapter 3, show you a few verses. I might be speaking to all saved people here this morning, but I don't know. I don't know who this might fall on ears that not even in here. John chapter 3. Let's start reading at verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So water is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. I don't know how much more clear you can get than all. You might think you might be a good person. You might be trusting in something else to get you to heaven. You may have grown up in a home where your family has gone to church your whole life, and you're trusting that just going to church is going to get you there? No. What does the church, how does the church take your sins away? How does doing, how do I put this? How does praying certain prayers take your sins away that you're being told to pray for X amount, for this, this, or this? It doesn't. You know, you're putting your trust in man, and I think I'm going to get ahead of myself there. But Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It takes faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you saved? If we could get to heaven on our own, I mean, you guys all heard it said before. If we can get to heaven on our own, then what was the point of Jesus Christ dying on the cross? Because you know how proud we are and how much we like to compare ourselves with each other and how much we like to try to be better than the next guy. So what is heaven? What would heaven be? If we could get there on our own, what would heaven be? It'd just be a party of everybody boasting about how they got there. Right? Oh, I did this. Well, I did this. Well, this is better than what you did. No. Then where's the focus? There's no focus. And then what we're doing here, what's the point? Where's the focus? The focus isn't on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ went ahead to die on the cross. If you're not saved, Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? Plain and simple. Has there been a time, have you been born again? Is there a time? If I was to ask you, can you tell me, yes, there's a time? And when I speak of time, I don't mean that, you know, 10, 15. I mean a date and time that you can go back to say and say, yes, at this time I knelt and I asked God to save me. If you can't honestly say that, then you're more than likely not born again. July 24th, 1986 is when I knelt at in the living room afternoon with my mother and prayed and asked God to save me. There's a time and a place. Is your name written in the book of life? If you want an example of someone's name who was not written in the book of life, you can go and look up Luke 16 and read verses 19 through 31. And there is a good illustration of somebody whose name was not written in the book of life and somebody whose name was. Now, salvation at that time was a little bit, but it gives you a good idea of what happens. And you think it's about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was in hell, and Lazarus is in heaven. And because all you think you had, everything you had it all together, it didn't do anything for you. John chapter 6. Look at John chapter 6 there. Start reading verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said, thou therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is which he cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So Jesus Christ was doing the will of his Father. And what did he say on the cross? Not my will, but thine be done. And we're talking about the center of God's will today. And not being saved will for sure keep you out of the center of God's will. If you want to be in the center of God's will, you need to be saved first. First and foremost. Moving on. The next one that is will keep us out of the center of God's will, trust. The song that the girls sang, it talks about trust. What are you trusting today? What are you trusting? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Plain and simple, you need to trust the Lord. What are you putting your trust in these days? You know, we see a lot of things, we hear a lot of things. And why is it so much easier to put our trust in stuff we see and hear going on around us than just putting your trust in God? It's just, why? We think we can trust ourselves. You can't trust yourself. I can't trust myself beyond what I can throw myself, and that isn't very far. And if I can throw myself, I'm going down, right? Let's take the children of Israel, for example. going into the promised land. They've been wandering around the wilderness for all these years. God's been leading them around, feeding them, showing them where to go. And he says, all right, it's time for you guys to go into the promised land. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You want us to go over there? We better send in some people that scouted out first. They weren't trusting God. They just seen God work all these years and take them around and give them food and give them water and this and that. But then he says, go over there. And they're like, no, we're going to send in some spies. And you know the story. The spies go in and say, we can't go in there. Yeah, but God told us that's our land. We can go in there. Yeah, but you don't want to go in there. So what do? They trust man. They trust man. And you know what happens. They didn't go in there. They had to wander for another 40 years, another generation. And you can't trust man. Both are wicked, sinful creatures. But you know what? Wait a minute. Didn't you, if you're saved in here today, didn't you trust Jesus Christ to save you with your soul?
Amen.
Okay. So simple thinking is, if I trusted him with my soul, which is the most precious thing, the most important thing I can ever do, make decision I can make in my life, all right, why can't I trust him to do anything else with my life? You're contradicting yourself. It's not making sense. And did you really tell the Lord that I'm yours? Did you mean it? You felt under conviction at one time to do more for him, and so you prayed and asked, Lord, what more can I do for you? I'm all yours. Did you mean it? Did you mean it? So where are you putting your trust? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting that he is going to do with your life what is best for him? We're so easily want to trust other things, and like we want full control of it when it's not in reality, it's not in our control. Yeah, we have control over what's here and right now, but with those decisions that we make, is it glorifying him? Is it keeping us in the center of his will? Are our decisions keeping us in the center of his will? Not trusting God will keep you out of the center of God's will. Another one. Very, very simple. Very simple. Faith. Faithfulness. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What's the sign out there say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I believe. Or am I in this? Something about that. Faith. Start reading verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. To be in the center of God's will, it's going to take being faithful. Being faithful in serving the Lord. As I said earlier, our day-to-day living gets mundane sometimes. And doing things over and over, the same, you really never feel like you're getting anywhere. And it can kind of get a drag and kind of get depressing sometimes if you're not careful. But that's life. That's life. Our job is to remain faithful. God's will for us is not bouncing all over the place, running here, running there, going to this. I'm not trying to pick on people or anything like that, but going to this church, going to that church, listening to these people, listening to that people. And what do you, you're the ball inside a pinball machine. You're all over the place. You're not stable. And we know what the Bible says about an unstable mind, an unstable man. And you're just listening to whoever you want. You're just kind of free, rolling around, doing what you think you know what's best. But Then in the same breath, you say, well, God's called me to be here. I'm just using here as this example. God's called me to be here. Well, then why are you out running, bouncing all over the place? You need to be faithful and remain in a place that God has called you. Amen. How's God going to be able to use us down the road if we're all over the place? You're never going to become grounded. If you want to bear fruit, you got to become grounded. If you don't understand that, you got to look at the corn, go drive by a cornfield and look and see. If that plant never stays grounded and rooted, it's never going to bring forth fruit. I mean, that's just simple thinking there. But yet we get so that's probably not really. No, you're just deceiving yourself. You just look around in creation. Creation has so much. If you look around in creation and really think about things, it has so much to tell you, so much to teach you. But you have to be grounded. You have to be rooted in what God has given you and the place he has set us so that we can bear fruit. When we bear fruit, we help each other. And to me, this is all just kind of basic fundamental stuff. Foundational things. This Luke chapter 15, turn over there. This always, when I think about this, this always comes to my mind. And this is just, I always resort back to the thought here. But verse number 17, we pick it up in verse number 17. You got the story or the parable of the prodigal son. Verse number 17, and when he came to himself, he said, this is the prodigal son speaking, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I wish to hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This is a picture of us, of a lost person coming to know Jesus Christ, of us sinning against God, straying away, going out and doing what we think is best, and coming back to him. This is where my mind thinks of this, is the father of the prodigal son is faithful. Jesus Christ is faithful. He's there for us every day. The father of the prodigal son was faithful. The son knew that the father was going to be there. That's why he went back home. Being faithful with what the Lord has given you and where he has put you is important, because there is somebody out there that is looking for help. The father was just sticking by the stuff, just simple day-to-day living, doing what he was supposed to do. He was looking for his son, right? Going to church, doing the best he could every day to serve the Lord. And that the son knew his father was going to be there waiting for him. And like I said, it's important for us to remain faithful. Because faithfulness is going to help someone that's in dire need. And there's people that are going to be counting on you to be there. I've been in this church a long time. My parents were one of the first. They were at the first ever meeting of it was Bible Baptist Church at the time, of Blessed Old Baptist Church. They were there at the very first meeting. I've been in this church a long time, and I say that to say this: is I've seen people come, I've seen people go, and I've seen people come back, and that's been over a course of 30 some years, and that is all because of the faithfulness of the people that have stayed and the pastor of this church They are expecting us to be here, plain and simple. Our job is to be here, is to remain faithful, because there is people that are going to need us. So not being faithful with what the Lord has given you and blessed you with is going to keep you out of the center of His will. The next one, thankfulness. And all these things we struggle with, right? All these things we struggle with every day. Like I said, this is some simple foundation, but be thankful. But we struggle with this one, don't we? Our flesh looks at everything and says, well, look at what I did. It wants to take all the credit. But in reality, we're the ones who make it worse. We are. You think you're some big deal, you know, you really think you got it all going on, you think you're the big deal, and it's all about you, it's important, you're important. But newsflash, we're not. You're not no big deal. You're just puffed yourself up and you're so big you can barely make it through the door back there, you know. But it's all about Him. It's all about what Jesus Christ is doing. It's all about what He's done. It's about what He's doing. And if you're not thankful, and you want a good explanation of what happens when you become unthankful, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we're not going to turn there and read through it. We can if you'd like to, but if you want to look at it and say, well, what if I'm unthankful, what's going to happen? That's going to happen. And you... by the grace of God, I'm talking about myself, are closer to that whole scenario than you really want to realize. And just a little bit of time of being unthankful is going to get you into that, down that road, faster than you even can turn your head and say, what happened? Because man is wicked. And It's just the way it is. It's a battle. You have to fight it every day. And it gets tiring, no doubt about it. But when you get down the road and you look back and you say, I'm glad I fought the battle that I did, and the Lord's kept me from a lot of things, and that's things we need to be thankful for. All right, where were we? Oh, that's right. I was talking about how big a deal you think you are. Romans 1, verse 20 through the end of the chapter, we'll tell you, in Romans chapter 1. Here's another one. You have the account of the 10 lepers, right, in Luke chapter 17. 9 of them missed out for not being thankful, plain and simple. Because what it says, you know, the one guy turned and thanked God, and God made him whole. His faith was restored. Or he was made whole that day. So he got to reap for being thankful. The other ones missed out. So by not being thankful, what are we missing out on? And, you know, it's going to be sad. We get to heaven and you've heard it said, you know, God's going to play out your life. This could have been your life. This was your life. And if you had just done this, this is what it would have been. And it's just something we always have to, like, just keep striving to. What if I did, you know, just think about it. Just try to encourage yourself every day. What am I missing out on? How much have we missed out on? You know, God has each one of us serving where He wants us. And we need to be thankful for that, not complaining. And like I said before earlier about comparing ourselves with each other, not complaining about why so-and-so gets to do this or that. We need to stop comparing ourselves one of another. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So what does that tell you? It's not a smart thing to do. Because now you're just, now it's a competition. It's a pride thing. It becomes pride. So, plain and simple, not being thankful will keep you out of the center of God's will. And I guess I'm down to my conclusion already. So being in the center of God's will, what do we need to do? We need to be saved. We need to trust Him more. Don't trust man. Trust God. Be faithful and continue to serve Him. And be thankful for what He has given you and where He has you serving today. Where's your focus? Where's your focus? Is your focus on you or is it on God? Are you looking down the road? I've used this analogy before. And you're driving down the road. Where are you looking? Are you looking at the end of your hood, like a lot of people are these days? Or are you looking straight way down there, as far as you can see, analyzing everything that you can, trying to predict an incident that could arise, trying to prepare for what may arise so that you can react appropriately? If you're looking at the end of your hood, you ain't seeing nothing. And if you spend a lot of time on the road, you know what I'm talking about. Most people are not looking past the hood. They're on their phone in a state where it's illegal, but neither here nor there. You're not looking ahead. You're not looking for Christ's return. You're not looking to see how will I measure up at the judgment seat of Christ. Guys, this is nothing we haven't heard before. But it's just something that we have to continually every day keep right here. Some people say put things in the back of your mind. Well, sometimes in the back of your mind, you kind of maybe will forget a little more than it's in the front of your mind. I don't know. Here's another analogy. Anybody shoot archery in here? When you don't look at the center of that target, and if you want to hit a bullseye every time, it's all right here. It all starts right here. And wherever you look, that is where your arrow is going to go. No, that can't be. It is, because your body does naturally, you don't even think about it, what your body does what your eyes are seeing. And if you're doing everything correct here, they call it the form, if you're doing everything correct here, and your eyes are staring on that target, at the center of that target, when that arrow goes off, it's going to hit the center of that target. But it starts right here. It starts right here. Once that arrow's released, I have no control over it. But where's your focus? If you're focused on everything right here, and I'm like, okay, I'm looking at things, I think about this, and I'm looking around, and I'm not really, I missed. Well, I guess I wasn't staring, I wasn't focused on the center of the target. I wasn't focused on what God has for me in my life. And so where's our focus? Are we focused on the Lord coming back, or are we more concerned about the here and now? It's easy to get concerned about the here and now. It's life. We got bills to pay, we have things to do, and that's just the way it is. But we still need to be focused on the Lord coming back, and how are we going to measure up? Are we being a good steward of the mysteries of God? I've been talking about this at work a lot lately with some of my peers, and when we go to our job is to do the job that we're there to do. But also, more importantly, our job is to be a good steward of the time and resources that we have at our place of employment. And the same thing goes with what God has given us. Are we a good steward of what God has given us? Read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So time is short. We need to focus on being in the center of God's will. Time is short. You've been hearing that for a long time, but time is short. Time is short. There's only 24 hours in a day, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. So what's behind these 3 points? What's behind these 3 points? The heart. Like it said in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The heart. So that leads to a whole nother study, the heart, which we're not doing today. But the condition of your heart is going to drive you one way or another, plain and simple. Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. I read that yesterday, and I'm like, there it is. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. And if my heart's in the right place, my eyes are going to see the things that he's doing, that he's done for me. Things that his way, observe his way. And it's on the back wall right there. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I mean, that's just as simple and straightforward as you can get. Keep thy heart with all diligence. If we don't keep our heart right, we're not going to do right. It has to start with the heart. And that's all I got. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,